Imagine a fine invisible powder, like constantly floating through your home.
Right, settling on your skin, getting into your lungs without you even noticing.
Yeah, exactly. In the source material, Ingrid Detter calls this cosmic dust. It's this idea that the wish for war in our society is, always there.
Just quiet and pervasive.
Right, until one day it condenses into a bloody line across the sky. So today we're doing an exploration into how the laws governing that bloody line have fundamentally shifted.
It really is a massive departure from how we used to think about conflict.
I mean, we're moving away from the era of 17th century kings and silk tents, right? And moving into a world where the law focuses directly on you.
Oh, absolutely. For centuries, we basically followed the Rousseau model. War was this professional boxing match between states.
With a ring and a referee.
Exactly. Clear start and end times.
Yeah.
Soldiers were just accidental defenders of a flag, not personal enemies. But that state-centric world is totally crumbling.
Because today it's less of a boxing match and, well, more of a global barroom brawl.
Yeah, we're seeing these non-state actors now, networks like Al-Qaeda.
Right, they don't have a capital city to capture or like a seat at the UN. And this is where it gets really relevant for the individual. Because if the old rules only applied to nations, how do we stop a billionaire financier or a lone wolf hacker from wreaking havoc?
The law had to evolve or just become obsolete. So it's moving from a contract between governments to a set of behavioral rules for the individual.
Which creates a huge definition problem.
It does. In the past, you needed a formal declaration of war.
Like a formal breakup text.
Yeah, exactly like a certified breakup letter. But now we deal with ghosting. Attacks like 9/11 happen without warning, so the law just can't wait for a letter.
It has to look at objective facts instead, right? Like the scale and intensity of the violence.
Right. If it looks like a war and feels like a war, the law treats it as a war, regardless of what the politicians actually call it.
Which brings us to the war on terror. The sources often call it sui generis.
Which is really just a fancy way of saying it's a one-of-a-kind mess.
Yeah, a total mess. But within that mess, the rules for who can fight are actually incredibly strict, like the uniform rule.
Oh, the legal combatant requirement,
Yes.
yes. To get the protections of a prisoner of war, you have to carry arms openly and wear a distinctive insignia.
Basically, you need a uniform.
And there's a crucial reason for that, which, often gets overlooked. It's not about fashion. It's about protecting civilians.
Right, because if a fighter hides among the population, they turn every innocent person into a potential target.
Exactly. If you disguise yourself as a civilian to launch an attack, you forfeit your combatant privilege. You become an illegal combatant.
I want to push back on that a little bit, though. Say you're a civilian, and an army invades your town. If you pick up a hunting rifle to defend your own front porch, are you suddenly an outlaw just because you didn't have time to sew a patch on your sleeve?
Well, the law actually makes an exception for that. It's called levée en masse.
Okay, so a spontaneous uprising.
Right. If there's a spontaneous resistance to an invader, those people are recognized as legal combatants. But for everyone else, the law forces a choice.
You either stay out of it and keep your civilian shield, or you pick up a gun and become a target.
Exactly.
But even if someone crosses that line and becomes an illegal combatant, I mean, they aren't an illegal black hole.
No, not at all. And that's thanks to just cogence. Think of it as the unbreakable DNA of international law.
So the absolute minimum standard.
Right. Even if a person is illegal, certain things like the ban on torture
Right.
are absolute. They apply everywhere to everyone. It's the minimum standard of humanity that can never be switched off.
And that shift toward individual responsibility is getting even teethier. We're seeing things like the Kampala Amendment,
Oh, huge development. The International Criminal Court can now prosecute the crime of aggression.
which basically bypasses the whole state shield. It means the law is finally going after the guys in the suits, not just the guys in the boots.
Yeah, if you're a financier or a strategist planning an illegal war, you could be held personally liable. It's the ultimate realization of debtor's work. The individual is an immediate bearer of rights and duties.
You can't just hide behind, I was following
Or
orders.
my organization isn't a state. The law is looking right at you.
It's such a powerful idea, but it really leaves me wondering about the future. I mean, if war is moving into cyberspace and outer space, like our sources suggest, the uniform becomes invisible.
Right. If you're sitting in a basement in a hoodie, sending a line of code that shuts down a power grid.
Are you a soldier or a criminal? Can a satellite strike ever truly be legal if the person behind the screen isn't wearing a uniform? It makes you realize that the bloody line isn't just in the sky anymore. It might be right there on your keyboard. Something to mull over until next time.